Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Go for a Walk podcast with me, your host, Sierra Rudin. Today, we have my uncle and aunt, Heather and David Prail on the podcast, and we are talking about growing in our faith and seeking truth. And I am so excited for you guys to hear this conversation and all of the wisdom and life experience they've had to learn this. It's so inspiring and exciting for me. So with that being said, let's go for a walk with Heather and David.
Okay. Hi, Heather and David. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Sierra.
Hi, Sierra. Thank you so much for having us today.
Yes, I'm so excited. This is so exciting. Do you guys want to tell listeners a little bit about yourselves, just real quick? What do you like to do for fun? What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, definitely. Well, so I'm David. I've been married to Heather now for a long time.
Coming up on 14 years.
14 years, a really long time. And it's
we're coming into our second 7-year itch, but we made it through the first one.
So yes.
And what we like to do for fun. Well, lately we've liked exploring Singapore every weekend. I know. We're living in Singapore on the other side of the world. Heather moved us here for her job.
And yeah, had an opportunity. It had always been a dream of mine to live overseas and be an expat, and got the opportunity. And we thought we would see the world, and we've seen nothing because we're in a pandemic, but we're seeing a lot of Singapore.
The borders are closed and we can't go anywhere, but yeah, we can walk around and we can go to places that are kind of still open
and eat a lot of noodles.
Yeah.
So that's been fun. Yes. Yeah.
No, but we like to travel. We like to be outside. We like to go hiking. We go to parks, like to walk around, we like to be active.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. Oh, this is so exciting. Yeah, so they're in Singapore. Yeah, so we are recording. It's 8 a.m. here for me, and it's 8 o'clock at night for you guys. Is that right?
Nine o'clock. Yeah.
And okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have David has a strict lights out at 10. So we're bending the rules today for you.
Oh, well, oh wow. I feel special.
You are special.
That's funny. Yeah, so we are recording on Zoom today. It's my first podcast on Zoom. I'm excited. And yeah, and I didn't tell anyone, but this is my aunt and uncle. So my mom's sister is Heather. They should probably know that. And then actually something really cool is literally the reason I started this podcast was because of you guys. So David and Heather were like, you should go listen to our podcast. And I was like, what? You have a podcast? That is so cool. I was like, I didn't know people could just do that. Like, I thought you had to be famous or something. Not that you guys aren't famous, but I was like, wait, you can just do that? And then I was like, wait, that'd be fun. And I just thought about this and it happened. So,
well, and you've done such an amazing job with this podcast. So we are just honored to be here and to be able to be a part of it, because you've done so much more with your podcast, I feel like, than we've even been able to do with ours. So
yeah, I love listening to it every week. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much. Thanks. Yeah. Do you guys want to tell them where they can find you on podcasts and then also on the YouTube? Because you guys have a really cool YouTube channel too.
So our podcast is called Marriage and Money. And so you can look us up wherever podcasts are available, iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And Marriage and Money, and our names are David and Heather Prail. It's spelled P-R-O-E-H-L. If you look that up as well, you'll find us. And it's a podcast primarily focused on managing your finances in a healthy way, specifically in the context of marriage. And then additionally, we have a YouTube channel that we've been using to chronicle our adventures in Singapore. It was intended to be a little bit more than Singapore, but it's our adventures in Singapore. And it's it's called Singapore Expat. And so, if you go to YouTube, I think /C/Singapore Expat, you will find us there.
That is amazing. Yes. And thank you guys for all your help with the technical stuff on my end. David's been super helpful with getting my podcast out there. So I just have to say that as well. So thank you guys.
Awesome. Oh, well, happy to help. But I know you've been running this on your own for a long time now. So you got this.
Thank you. Well, let's get into your guys' little story, your faith journey. Do you want to tell listeners about that?
Sure. So David and I really have similar backgrounds, but I'll let him talk about his. But we both kind of grew up in the church. I I've I can't remember not knowing about Jesus and God. So going to church, going to Bible study, going to Sunday school, going to youth group, you know, really being in the Bible, hearing the Bible stories. But when I went to college was really where my faith became my own, because it was my decision to go to church or get involved in InterVarsity, Christian Fellowship. That was really when I took ownership and really started to create my own personal relationship with God, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had a very similar story, became a Christian when I was 5 years old, grew up in a Christian household, knew all the Bible stories from Sunday school and flannel graphs and all of those wonderful things.
That's dating yourself.
I know the 80s, right?
I was going to say, flannel I don't know graphs. The flannel graphs.
Oh my gosh.
You'll have to Google.
You'll have to Google what Christian flannel graphs were all about. But it was the happy-go-lucky way to tell all these wonderful Bible stories. And then in my 20s, got engaged in youth ministry and had a wonderful time with that. And I think, yeah, and as Heather and I will talk about a little bit, I think from that point up into our 30s, kind of felt a little plateaued, but then I think we'll be talking more about that learning cycle later on here.
Yeah. Yep. Very similar. Like I was in small groups and involved in singles ministries and leading Bible studies. And yeah, we just felt like it was kind of more of the same and really not necessarily growing too much, but always in the Word and always in community, but it kind of changed a little bit in our 30s.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Thank you. So with that, our topic is kind of just like this growth mindset of like not wanting to plateau and wanting to always keep going and keep growing. And so with that, we're going to call this seeking truth and what that means in our everyday and for each of our personal relationships. So Heather and David, what do you wish you would have known sooner about seeking truth?
So for me, I think I would say there's so much more that I don't know and I will never know. And that's okay. It's really about the journey. It's about the learning process and being in relationship with God, getting to know him more than what you're learning. So it's getting to know him and wanting to know more about him than about what you're actually trying to learn. Mm. You know, God just really wants to be in relationship with each of us. And this is one way to do so. So really, I wish I would have known, like, just to really be open to hearing and learning and questioning, even if it's something that you've held as truth from as early as you can remember.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I wish, very similar to Heather, I wish I would have known that it was okay to ask a lot of those hard questions about my beliefs and why I held them early on. I grew up at a church where they had a lot of answers, but those answers weren't always backed up with explanations that made a lot of sense to me or that were super clear or defensible. And so then I ended up in a place where I had a lot of beliefs, but I didn't really understand necessarily why did I believe those beliefs and could I justify them? Could I really rationalize and make those beliefs my own? And yeah. And so I wish I would have gone down that road of making these beliefs my own a lot sooner by questioning them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Why is it so important to like want to go further? Like you guys are talking about, like, why is that such an important thing in our personal relationship with Christ and as a Christian than just like being okay with the things that we're getting on Sunday and what we might be reading or hearing?
Well, I think it's important because we should never be content with where we're at. God always wants more of us. Just like, and I think about this a lot of times in relationship to a marriage relationship, that I always want to give more of myself to Heather. I want her to know me more. I want to know her more. And I think if we're content where we're at with our relationship with God, we're not moving that forward. And if we're not learning more and moving forward in a relationship, we're slowly taking a step back or we're moving away. And so we always want to be moving towards that other person or towards God rather than slowly moving away.
Yeah. And I think he brought up a really good point. Like, I think about it, like, if you think about when you start a new friendship with someone or maybe a romantic relationship, it's like, what do? Like, you just want to talk to that person. You want to ask them all these questions. You want to get to know them. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's really what God wants with us. And so we should be doing that with him in our relationship with him, constantly wanting that desire to know him more and to ask questions.
Yeah, I think it's really good. And I think, like, I coming into college, I feel like I, like, same thing. Like, I feel like I knew a lot and I was like going to be okay. And I was good enough and I didn't really need to learn too much more, maybe a little bit. I was eager for the word, but I was like, okay with like the fact that I knew enough. But then, like, I feel like this experience at college with the ministry I'm a part of, and then my friends, you know, just learning from them, it's like, I've learned so much that I had no idea was even able to learn. And I think that's so true. The more that I read the Bible and the more that I read different books and listen to podcasts and go to SALT and go to church, it's like, there's so much that there is to learn and so much that you're never going to learn. And there's so much to learn. And then also, like, to implement that in my life is so much easier said than done. Cause like, you learn it and then you talk about it and then you have to do it. And then you mess up and you don't do it right. And you have to learn it again and do it again. And so I think that's something I've been learning too. Like, you're always, there's always something to learn. There's always something to keep striving at to learn too.
There very much is. And I think there's so much that you can learn, like you said, from other people. And oftentimes those other people can challenge maybe what you think you've already learned. And that's one of the things that's really pushed me on my journey, is that I thought I had learned a concept, or I thought I had learned a core biblical truth that was central to my Christianity. And then I had someone come along and say, oh, well, have you thought about it from this other angle? And like, well, no, I haven't. And that completely blows up my concept of this topic. And then that's the kind of thing that has had to make me steer directions. And so I think, for example, the biggest one in recent time has been this question around how do I reconcile the difference between the God of the Old Testament, where like in 1 Samuel 15:2, God commands the murder of everyone in this village. Basically, this whole, he commands genocide, commands that the people commit genocide by killing everyone, men, women, infants, baby, children. And it's like, wow, how does that God compare to the God of the New Testament that's fully embodied in every way in Jesus Christ, who is pure love, who would not hurt anyone, who is so pure? And when this was brought up to me, I didn't have a good answer for this. I'm like, what? I grew up in the church. I'm 30 some years old. How do I not have a good answer for this? This is ridiculous. Like, this is the kind of reason why people leave the church, is because of hypocrisy like this. And I can't even respond to it. And it kind of made me stop and reevaluate what I knew or what I thought I knew.
Wow. That's good. I think that it also really humbles you.
It does. Yes. Because these are the things that don't come up on that flannel graph.
I really need to learn these flannel graphs. I
agree. There's always going to be, you know, there's been questions and topics that I've wrestled with myself and with God over the years, and that's okay. And that's good. And we should do that. But I think you always need to go back to say, what are the truths? What do I know to be true? And do they determine my salvation? Right. Yeah. Cause there are certain truths that you can't argue with. You know, it really boils down to the two commandments, right? Love the Lord your God and love others. And so really looking to Jesus to see, what does that love look like? And I think it's good. It's good to dig into those topics and those deep questions, but at the end of the day, and hopefully that draws you closer to God.
Right. But at the end of the day, what it doesn't necessarily matter. do you have the right answer to those questions?
Right.
It matters, do you have an answer to those questions?
Right.
And it, because these are not, a lot of these questions are not necessarily salvation dependent questions, but a lot of times we get hung up on them, or at least I have gotten hung up on them, to say, oh, if this isn't the right answer, then the whole thing, then all of Christianity blows up. And that's not really the case. What matters is Jesus the Son of God, and did he die for me? And did he rise again? And if that's true, then I'm good. Then these other things don't necessarily matter as much, but there's still, they're good ways to, they're things that are helpful to have answers to for me personally, at least.
Right. And to get to know God, right?
And to get to know
him better.
His character. Exactly.
To grow close. This is part of that growing.
Right.
Yeah. This isn't something you would start asking questions of your first year as a Christian.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that when we're talking to other Christians about things like this, like making sure that they have that foundation, like, do they know that Jesus is God? Do they know that he died for them?
Yes.
And like when, like they're asking these deep questions, it's like, okay, let's make sure that you understand this, because this is all going to make a lot more sense if you know this first.
And you had your episode earlier on denominations, and these are the types of differences that lead to those denominations, right? How people answer these questions differently ultimately determines denominations.
Yeah. It doesn't mean we all follow the same God. No. It's just taking different takes on in different interpretations and understandings of these questions, right?
Yeah. Yeah, which is important. I mean, I have been really wrestling with like the topic of predestination. And I think that it's a really big topic, and it's something that God wants us to wrestle with him. I mean, there was this whole sermon like 3 weeks ago that was like, God is a God that wants you to wrestle with him. He wants you to come to him not knowing. And I think that being able to come to a God that I don't know every single thing about him makes my religion that much more secure, and like my relationship with him that much more secure, because there's this mystery of God that we will never be able to understand or obtain to. And because of that, he's this all-powerful God, all-knowing, that I will never be able to fully understand, which makes me that he's that much more worthy of worship because of that. And so I think,
And I feel like that's also what makes it so much more exciting to learn more about God, is that there's always something more to learn, that there's always more mystery out there. And
And for me, I feel like the more that I try to learn, the more I realize I don't know.
Yes.
And like how God gets even bigger and more complicated. And I realize how much I don't know, the more that I try to learn and get to know God, it's like, wow, he's even more bigger than I realized.
Yeah. And that just continues to humble us. Like, the more I get it, figure that out.
But I think it's a really good point that you mentioned about worship, because that's been a recent revelation of mine, is that this is a form of worship. Like, I think we often think that worship is this emotional and we're singing songs and we got our hands in the air and we're in this like zone, and worship can look like this. Like for someone like David, who's a 5 on the Enneagram, he's very analytical. Like digging in and researching and studying the Lord, like that is a form of worship, because that's being abiding in him and being in relationship. And to me, that was kind of a revelation, like, oh, wow, like this is a way to worship him. You can worship him through getting to know him.
Yeah. And, you know, and Jesus calls this out, right? So in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And so certainly, you know, with all your heart and soul, that's certainly that's certainly a traditional worship singing experience. But then loving your God with all your mind is definitely an intellectual one. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I never thought about that. That's really cool. That makes him, it's just cool that when we do that, like when we take the extra step to ask the questions and go further, God is like smiling down and seeing us as praising and worshiping him through that. When we just maybe see it as like us confused or us not knowing or us being human, he like is so excited about that. When for me, I hate not knowing something, or not understanding something or not being able to answer a question. And so I'm like, oh, I'm a failure. This sucks. This is so embarrassing. And he's like excited that I'm going the extra step.
Exactly. I mean, it kind of reminds me to your point about how he wants to be in relationship with us. So I heard a sermon recently that really changed a perspective of mine. So we hear in John, the disciple John, five times he calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. And that always rubbed me really wrong. It was like, who are you to say that? Like, wow, that's so arrogant for you to be like, I'm the one Jesus loved. I'm the disciple he loved. And it was like, wow, okay, you're really kind of full of yourself. But I heard this sermon recently that talked about flipping it again to look at it from a different perspective to say, you know, he was reporting his experience of the love that he was receiving from Jesus. Mm. And Jesus's love is a particular, it's a one of a kind love, and that's how he was receiving it. And, you know, God has this unlimited, infinite love, and that's for each of us. God's love doesn't need to be watered down to cover everyone. It's as if all of his love is for that individual, for you, for me, for John the disciple. Like, he loved us in our uniqueness. And we often think about God's love in a communal, like in the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Well, for God so loved Sierra that he gave his only son. Like, he also loved you individually, and his love is infinite. And that's so hard for us to grasp. For me, it was like thinking we get a piece of it, but we each individually get all of his unsurpassable love. And it was like, just really turned it on me to be like, wow, when you think about, you know, how each of us are individually loved by him, it just really.
We're individually all his favorite.
Yeah, exactly. I'm his favorite too, right?
That's pretty awesome to be God's favorite.
That's, yeah. Wow. New perspective. I love it. How would you advise someone to like go out and keep seeking truth and keep challenging themselves? Like, what would be like kind of that next step if someone's like, I'm not doing a very good job at this and I want to do this and keep worshiping God through this way?
My advice, at least one of the things that I think have just found super helpful, is having conversations with other believers about topics that are either bothering you or bugging you, or that you have questions about, and understanding what their perspective is. And so getting that other perspective and talking it through with other believers, and then taking it from there to do additional research on your own, if on those particular topics. But I really think starting with those conversations with other believers is a great way. At least for me, it's been a great way to hear that other perspective.
Yeah, I would agree. But I'd also like, when I think back, like what has changed from when I was, because I was always in community and Bible studies. And it's like, what made this leap in my 30s that was different? And I think part of it is like asking, not sitting in an echo chamber and not just surrounding yourself with people that think all the same things that you do.
Correct.
Like not being afraid to ask those hard questions or those things that you've never thought about. Like going that next step and then being in community and talking with people. The thing with God is like, he can handle it. Like, he's a big God. And to, like you talked about wrestling, he wants to wrestle. Like, we don't need to be fearful that if we ask these questions or we challenge our faith, that it's going to fall apart, because he's not that type of God. Like, if anything, it's going to bring you closer and bring you answers. It's not, he's going to stand up to that challenge, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And because we have a faith that we can have faith in, you can challenge that and you can know it's not going to fall apart. And so I think a lot of times people are afraid to challenge what they believe because they're afraid that they might not like what they find, or they're afraid that they won't have the right answer. And you might not get the answer you're looking for, but you can you learn something from that. You take and you build upon it. And so I think there's always something new to learn, and you should not be afraid of your faith falling apart by questioning aspects of it.
Yeah. And I've been learning a lot about the Holy Spirit too, and which is something brand new that I just started learning about this year. So when you think you know everything, you don't. And so that's just a point, but also I learned a lot about the Spirit and the fact that we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit here on earth with us is just incredible and amazing. And because of that, we get to go seek truth. And it says in John 16, 13, that the Spirit will guide you into all truth. And so if you are holding on to the Spirit and you have the Spirit living inside of you, which all Christians should, you shouldn't be scared to go, yeah, and ask these questions or get asked a question or talk about things, because He will guide you into all truth. And so when we wrestle with Him and we ask Him, we need to sit there and be like, meet me here and guide me into all truth. Show me what you want to show me in this. Grow me the ways you want me to grow. You want to grow me. And so pray to Him and let the Spirit live inside you through that too. Because He will do it.
Oh,
yes.
Yes. Such good advice.
Amen.
You're very wise.
I'm learning. I'm growing.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We're very proud.
Yeah. Well, is there any like just advice in general that you would give to college students or like people that are kind of in that transitional period where you really found faith that was your own and that you really think was a monumental like step for your faith journey that you would give them to just keep growing and not let this be a plateau and to prevent the plateau in general?
For me in college, it was a matter of getting plugged in early into a good, strong community of Christians, to have that support group to say that this is my core support group of Christians that I can have these conversations with, that I can be challenged by, that I can challenge. That was probably the biggest piece for me, was when Heather and I got involved in InterVarsity, and that was the name of the organization at our school. But getting plugged into an organization within your college is going to be probably the most important thing in my
mind. Yeah, I would agree. And I think it sounds like it's what you're doing. And it was really life-changing. And those are still some of my best friends. I still stay in contact. I still see them. And, you know, it's like, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And like my close group of girls, we started an accountability group. So it wasn't just about let's study the Bible. It was like, we invited each other into our lives to be able to call out each other and to ask those tough questions and not be afraid to, you know, invite people into your life to help guide and, you know, help direct.
That's amazing. Yeah. I also think it gives you a new perspective on everything. I'm so quick to think that like my way is the only way. And so it was crazy. Last night we were just at a soccer field talking, and someone asked a question like, what have you learned this year? Like, what's really grown you this year? And everyone went around and said a different answer and a different thing that like they have grown or learned this year through the ministry we're a part of and through, you know, the community and things that they've gone through. And it was so crazy. The guy at the end was like, wow, that was really cool. It just shaped and challenged so many of my viewpoints and really humbled me, because there's so much that you guys know that I don't. And when he asked that question, he didn't expect that to happen. But yeah, the more that you start talking in community and being in community, the more you're going to be humbled and also learn from other people when you ask those questions that you can ask when you're all believers, which is really cool.
That is so true. And the great thing about college is that everyone's coming from different denominations, different backgrounds, and has different perspectives. And so it's a great time to learn from those.
Yes. Yeah. It's so, so fun. Awesome. Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about or mention or
say? I guess the last thing I just like to say, I heard a podcast recently with John Maxwell, and he was talking about how he doesn't view that there's a finish line to life. And I thought that was really wise, because it really is all about the journey. And it's the same thing with learning and growing. Like, there isn't a finish line. It's about the journey. And the thing that you'll see as you continue to grow and learn, which I've kind of come under the realization, is that the more you learn, the more you realize you have fewer certainties in life. You know, back in my 20s, I thought I had so many things that I was certain about, and these things are certain. And, you know, as I've gotten older and learned more, like, a lot of those certainties have gone away. But the certainties that I still do have held up and are truth. And any certainty in your life that has not been tested cannot be trusted. So don't be afraid to test that certainty or what you hold tightly to.
Mm. That's a good way to wrap it up.
That's really
That's a good capstone to it all. Well said.
That's really good. I feel like people need to hear that. I feel like I need to hear that. That was good. Awesome. Well, do you guys have song suggestions? Do we want to go into that?
Of course.
We do, yes.
Heck yeah.
I'll go first. So I'm going to go way back. I mean, this song came out before you were born, Sierra. This is how old. We're going back like 26 years, I think. So the song that I've chosen is called Worlds Apart, and it's by Jars of Clay. And it's a slower song, but the lyrics are just so touching to me. And I just really love how you can feel the angst this artist carries at having caused Jesus pain through our sin, and yet the awe over his immense love and sacrifice for us. And it kind of goes back to what I talked about, just how much Jesus loves us individually. And in this song, you really feel that, like, oh, wow, he really made a sacrifice for me, but he really, really loves me. So. Mm.
That's a great selection. I like that song too. David likes it. That's a good song.
We discovered it was both our favorite songs by that band. It was one of the things we had in common.
So yes, you should go listen to that song if you haven't.
And you keep learning about each other.
The learning never ends.
Full circle.
Yes. Oh. All right. Well, for my song, I've chosen "Be Here Long" by Need to Breathe.
Oh. So, I love Need to Breathe.
You like Need to Breathe? They're a great band. So this song comes from their album from, I think it was about 5 years ago. This isn't, you know, your typical happy-go-lucky song I know that you normally have on your podcast. but it's been very meaningful and a very helpful song for me in recent years. So over the last about 3.5 years or so, I lost both my parents while they were in their early to mid 60s. And I never have really identified with every lyric of a song quite so much as I have with this song. Mm. Just this song is all about loss and the brokenness that comes with this, the struggle of knowing your loved one is in heaven, but selfishly wanting them here. Thinking about that person all day, every day, dreaming about them, wanting to hold on to that, the pain of that grief, because it's the only thing that's left of that person in the present. It's just so well done. So if anyone out there has lost someone close, I just highly recommend you give it a listen as a reminder that your reaction is normal, and that it's still a godly way to grieve and remember them.
Mm, I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My song, I was actually going to do a different one, but then after Heather said the whole constant thing, I remember this song that now I'm going to do because it just fits better with, I don't know, came to my mind. So it's on purpose. So I'm going to do Constant One. That's so cool. Nice. by Stephanie Gretzinger. I've also never recommended her on the podcast. So yeah, just he's the only constant. There you go. Mic drop.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh,
wonderful. We'll have to listen to that one. I don't think I've heard that one.
No, I'm excited to hear it.
My friend actually recommended it to me. One day I texted my group chat of my friends here at college. And I was like, everybody send your top two worship songs. I'm running out of songs for the podcast and I need variety. People don't want to just hear my music. So I had everyone send their top two and that was one of them. So thanks, Carson.
Awesome. Nice.
Well, you've shared a lot of new music to me. I love listening to your Spotify list.
Thanks. I love listening to everyone else's too. This is so fun. Awesome. Okay. So we'll end how we do every single podcast. Heather and David, you ready?
Yep. Yes. We're ready.
Okay. Go
out and walk by faith.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Sierra.